Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Slow Your Roll. Life can be crazy, like out of control crazy. And sometimes the best thing we can do is learn to simplify, because sometimes simpler is better. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, welcome to New Point. We're glad that you're here. We're one church in multiple locations. And so thanks for choosing to be with us today. Here's what we're learning. We're learning that each of us, no matter where we are in life, we need to slow our roll. That's what we need to do. And we need to do that because the fact of the matter is many of us feel overwhelmed, overextended, maybe financially we're exhausted, or overscheduled. And today we want to look at this word overscheduled. And the reason is because I believe that many of us have quoted Isaiah, though we may not have realized it. And here's what Isaiah had to say many, many years ago. I have used my strength, but I didn't accomplish anything. Anybody ever felt that way? You got to the end of the day, and you said, I'm just exhausted. I'm just overwhelmed. But you know what? I'm not for sure if I accomplished anything. And so we want to look at that. Because here's what I know. God doesn't want that to be true of me, and God doesn't want that to be true of you. And so we want to slow our roll. Now, what's your roll? Well, here's your roll, okay? It's the space between our current pace and our limits. The space between our current pace and our limits. It means to create margin. It means to develop margin. And margin is the difference between your load and your limits. Your load and your limits. And so we want to look at this word, overscheduled. Now, here's my question for each and every one of us. How many of you have ever been to a time management seminar? Huh? Ever been to one? Okay, I see the hands. How many of you have ever read a book on time management? Okay, I see those hands. So how's it working for you? You know, I'm not against those things because I've been to the seminar, I've bought the book. But the fact of the matter is, much of the time, they don't help us as much as what we hoped for. And the reason why is because I don't believe that we're addressing the real issue. Or should I say this, we're not addressing the most important issue. You see, here's what I believe. Slowing our roll in our schedules begin by recognizing that time is limited. Time is limited, so use it wisely. See, we all have a limited amount of time. We have 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, the good thing is we all get the same amount. Okay, at least in that frame. And so we are called to use it wisely. Now, Job just kind of narrows our focus and helps us to understand why we need to slow our roll and recognize that our time is limited and use it wisely. Here's what he has to say. Our time is limited. You, God, have given us only so many months to live and have set limits we cannot go beyond. Wow. Now, most of us here today would believe that God has something to do with our time. Most of us would believe that God, in one way or another, okay, plays an active role in our time, in the length of our lives. You say, Dwight, why do you say that? If you found out tomorrow that you had a terminal illness, What would you do? You would pray. Even if you don't pray on a regular basis, maybe you haven't prayed for a long time. If the doctor said, hey, you know what? You have a illness that's terminal. You would begin to pray. Why? Because you know in one way or another, God plays a role in your time. If you heard of a friend who learned that they had a terminal illness, probably one of the first things that you would do is you would pray. I've experienced this firsthand. About 26 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I was told that I had a malignant tumor on my leg. Our daughter, Sarah, was about 3 months old. And I remember sitting in the recliner at night all by myself, tears coming down my face, saying, God, I just want to walk her down the aisle. That's all I want to do. Just want to walk her down the aisle. Please. And yes, I'm a person of faith. Of course I am. But I know many people who have prayed a prayer similar, who may not be, quote unquote, people of faith. But they're saying, if there is a God, if there is a God, would you please extend my time? Would you please do that? And that's what Job is saying. He is saying our time is limited. I remember 8 years later, I was 40 years old. I had a heart attack. I went under the knife. I got split about from here to there. And I remember going back to the hospital just a few days later, maybe 5 days later. And Patty was driving because I was not able to drive. And we stopped at a gas station. And she filled up the car with gas. And then she went in to pay the bill. And I'm watching these people come and go and come and go. And you know what I said to myself? If I would have died on that table 5 days ago, these people would be doing exactly this. And it gave me an incredible, clear picture that my time was limited. That's why I don't like to leave the house mad at Patty anymore. That's why I like, to the best of my ability, to keep short accounts with relationships. Because once you have a heart attack, you know that your time is limited. It's very, very sobering. You have to deal with your mortality. And I ask myself this question, I might not make it back to the house. See, I used to say stuff like this, okay? Give me grace, okay? She'll get over it. We'll talk about it later. But the fact of the matter is I've come to realize what Job has said. My time is limited. I've only got so many months. I have only so many days. And God has set that limit. And here's what I believe. I believe this. If we could see as God, as he is, as God is, we would yield to his ways. If we could see God as he is, we would yield to his ways. And we would say, yes, God, I realize that my time is limited. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to live as though I'm going to live forever and ever, and that I have all the time in the world. You see, here's what I believe. If we could see as God is, we would be strategic with the time we have been given. And we would realize that I have a limited amount of time here on earth. I don't have an unlimited amount of time here on earth. And Moses realized this. Moses realized this because he lived to be about 120 years of age, and he had a perspective on life that most of us don't have. And one day he was writing. Matter of fact, he was praying. And he prayed this prayer in Psalms 90. He says, teach us to number our days Why? Because it doesn't come natural to me. It doesn't come natural to you. When's the last time you thought about this? You know what? I don't know how many more days I've got to live. Most of us don't think about that. We usually only think about that when we go to funerals, and most of us are not up to going to funerals. Because what happens is when we go to funerals, it forces you and me to deal with our mortality. And yet Moses is saying, teach us to what? To number our days. Our days, I have a limited amount of time. Then he goes on to say this, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. That I might begin to understand that I have a limited amount of time and that I need to be strategic. You see, you can do one or three things with your time. You can waste your time, you can spend your time, or you can invest your time. And Moses is trying to get our attention and saying, hey, you know what, God? Teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom so that I won't waste my time. I won't even spend my time. I will invest my time. Because here's what I believe. Understanding that our time is limited provides us with the wisdom to know how to invest our limited time. And so one of the things that you and I can grasp is that I have a limited time, so I must limit my time. Bronnie Ware is an Australian who served in hospice, and she's written a book, and the book is The Five Top Regrets of Dying. And what she has done is she spent the last 12 weeks or the last 90 days with people here on earth. And as she spent those 90 days with them, 120 days, what happens is she started hearing things over and over and over again. And the amazing thing is when these people would talk to her, they basically would say the same thing over and over and over again in their last days on earth, their last 3 months, their last 90 days. And I want to share them with you, but I want to share them in reverse order. All right? So here's the first one that she learned. I wish I had let myself be happier. She said that she would hear this comment from the people who are taking their last breath, because you know what they're doing? You ready for this? They're numbering their days. They know that they have 90 days. They know that they have 3 months to live. And so they're looking at life from a totally different perspective than most of us. And what she found out is they would say, I wish that I would have let myself be happier. And here's what she says. This is a surprisingly common one. Many did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. That they had stayed stuck in old patterns and habits. The so-called comfort of familiarity overflowed into their emotions as well as their physical lives. She went on to say this. Fear of change had them pretending to others and themselves that they were content when deep within they long to laugh properly and have silliness in their life again. Can I just ask you, when's the last time you really laughed? See, that's why we love to enjoy ourselves at New Point. We love to laugh. Because why? A cheerful heart is good medicine. It's good medicine. Here's the second or the fourth regret, I guess, that she learned. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. Here's what she records in her book. Often they would not truly realize the full benefits of old friends until their dying weeks. And it was not always possible to track them down. Listen to this, okay? Many had become so caught up in their own lives that they had let the golden friendships slip by over the years. There were many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and the effort they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they are dying. But see what happened here? They got overscheduled, okay? They didn't realize that they had limited time. Here's the third regret. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. She said when she would listen to these people talk, they'd come back, I wish I would have had the courage to express my feelings. And here's what she writes about it. She says, many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settle for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Wow. Many developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. Y'all okay? Wow. I never really expressed myself. Here's the second one that most of us might think would be the first one. Here's what she recorded. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I mean, maybe that's what you thought would be number one, but she has it as number two. And here's what she wrote. She says this. This came from every male patient that I nursed. How many male patients? Every male patient that I nursed. They missed out on their children's youth and their partner's companionship. She goes on to say, women also spoke of this regret, but most were from an older generation. Many of the female patients had not been the breadwinners. All the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of work existence. Wow. And so guess what? They missed out on their kids' lives because they were work, 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 work. And she said all the males that I took care of said that they regretted that they worked so hard. Here's the number one that Bronnie said. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected me to live. Does it ring true to you? I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected me to live. And here's what Bronnie said. When people realized that their life was almost over and looked back clearly on it, it was easy to see how many dreams had gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to the choices that they had made or not made. And then she says this, health brings a freedom that very few realize until they no longer have it. Wow. See, this is why it's so important that you and I learn to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. But what happens is there's something in you and there's something in me that says, well, if I don't do all of this, some things will happen. And we begin to list objections of why we have to have such a full schedule. Not a full life, but a full schedule. You know, we kind of think like this, well, I will never make it. What's it? You got to define it. I will never make it. What's it? Or I will fall behind. Or I will be poor. Or I won't be accepted. Or I won't measure up. And so what happens is we live these busy, busy, busy lives. And if we're not careful, we end up having a barren life because we believe the lie, I will never make it, or I will fall behind, or I will be poor, or I won't be accepted. I won't measure up. And really, it comes back to this whole issue that we talked about last week, and that is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Because if you are a Christ follower, this is huge. This is so huge because God has a plan for your life. God has a specific plan for each and every one of our lives. And if we don't understand this, then what happens is we could miss out on the very thing that you and I were created for, that God gifted you with and blessed you with. And so this is of utmost importance for those who are Christ followers. See, even the world understands this, though, to some degree. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, he says, time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it, speed it up, save it, or lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward at the same rate. The challenge is not to manage time, but to manage ourself. Wow. To manage ourself. You see, Paul would say it like this, and this is so, listen, this is so, so important when we're talking about schedules. He would say it like this in Galatians 6:5. We are each responsible for our own conduct. See, there's three types of people. There's accusers, excusers, and choosers. Accusers is people who blame other people for their life. They just blame. Well, I wouldn't have to do it if it wasn't for, I can't believe they're, and what happens is we just accuse people and we never take responsibility for our own life. And so we become resentful, angry, and bitter. So we accuse people for why our lives are the way that they are. Or we excuse and we just make one excuse after, oh, you don't understand my life. Oh, you don't understand this. And oh, you don't understand that. And yet then the fact of the matter is there's choosers. And listen, when you take responsibility for your life, listen to me, you will disappoint some people. You will disappoint some people. But you'll come to the end of your life with fewer and fewer and fewer regrets. But as long as you accuse other people or excuse yourself, then what happens is you're going to find yourself bitter and resentful. And really, you're responsible for your conduct. You see, to make the most of your time, you must assume responsibility for your time. You have to assume responsibility. What did Moses say? Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom, so that we will know what we should do in this frame of time, because we have limited time. Now, Paul, who tells us that we are responsible for our own conduct, he gives us some hints or some directions in how we should do that. And I want us to look at this as we wrap up. He would say this in Ephesians chapter 5. He would say, live life with a due sense of responsibility as people who know the meaning of life. You see, listen, if you are a Christ follower, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, then what happens is you know the true meaning of life. You know the true meaning of life. And so you know that time is limited. You know the value of time. And so Paul is saying, live with a due sense of responsibility for your time. Take control of it. And how do we do that? Well, we analyze our lifestyle. We analyze our lifestyle. One of the things, I'm going to give you a tool at the end here in a moment, of where you can even analyze your lifestyle in a more strategic way. But you need to audit yourself. Where am I putting my time? And is it wise? Is it wise? You know, if I had 90 days to live, if I had 120 days to live, if I had 180 days to live, because here's what we all need to understand and realize. All of us have a sentence on our life. Some of us here today, we're living in the last 90 days of our life. We just don't know it yet. And so we need to analyze our lifestyle. Is this the way I'd like to live? Is this what I would invest my life in if I knew I only had 90 days? And it's true in the workplace as well. I love what Craig Rochelle has to say. He says, as leaders, almost all of us feel like we have too much to do. Pressure, deadlines, decisions, and stress. While we do have real responsibilities, we often waste time on things that don't really move us towards our goals. I was talking to a consultant a week ago, and we were talking about this, and he said, you know what, Dwight, I would do? He said, I'd have everybody in your organization track their time. And he said, you know what I found out? I found out that, you know what, most of them have an afternoon that's free if they really ask themselves, what am I doing in the morning? What am I doing in the morning? Where am I giving my time? Am I giving my time towards things that moves us towards the goal? Or am I just spending it and wasting it, realizing that, no, you have a limited amount of time? And that is so true in life. You know, I got plenty of time to be with the kids. I've got plenty of time to be with my spouse. Oh, I've got plenty of time. And the fact of the matter is, you don't. You got a limited amount of time. And so we have to analyze our lifestyle and say, where is my time going? And Paul says, live a life with a due sense of responsibility. And he goes on to say, as people who know the meaning of life, make the best use of your time. Wow, what's he saying here? Make the best use of your time. That means maximize the present. Maximize the present. What is the most important thing I can be doing right now? If you're in the workplace, what's the most important thing that I can do right now that will move me towards the goals that I'm supposed to have? If it's in your personal life, how can I maximize the present? I'm only going to have the kids in the house for 18 years. So how do I maximize that time? One of the things that we tried to do at the Mason house is that we always tried to have supper together about 6 o'clock at night. And so basically probably 5 out of 7 nights a week, we tried to gather around the table. And I tried to clear my schedule always on Thursday night to be able to max those times, to be able to say, you know what, I need to maximize that time. Patty and I, most of you know this, every Friday we have lunch together. Why? Because I'm trying to max that time of being able to realize, you know what, there's going to come a time she's not going to be able to do it with me, or I'm not going to be able to do it with her. And so I need to make the most of my time. And so I need to analyze my lifestyle, but I need to make the most of my time. He goes on to say this. Live life with a due sense of responsibility. As people who know the meaning of life, make the best use of your time. Now check this out, okay? You ready for this? Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. What's he saying? He is saying prioritize the most important. Listen to me very carefully. If you don't take control of your calendar, somebody else will. And you'll start accusing and excusing. And one of the things that we need to be able to do is learn to say no. No. But for you to have the power to say no, you better prioritize what's important. You better know what's important. You have to understand that. You have to, whether it's your job or whether it's your life, you don't have time for everything. I don't have time for everything. That's why Moses is saying, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We think, oh, I got time for everything. No, you don't. No, you don't. You see, here's what I've come to believe. You have just enough time to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And what happens is if I find myself overscheduled and overextended, you're doing some things, okay, God never intended for you to do. You're yielding to somebody else's agenda. You're yielding to somebody else's schedule. Or you're doing the right thing in the wrong way. And so you need to have a little bit of humility and to be able to say, you know what, I think I'm doing the right thing, but I'm not getting the results that I want. I'm not getting the results that I need. Can you help me? And so you have to prioritize what is important. Paul goes on to say this, do not get your stimulus from wine, for there is always the danger of excessive drinking. But let the Spirit stimulate your souls. What's he saying? Manage your energy. Manage your energy. Don't let wine be the thing that stimulates you, because it can lead you down a wrong path. Let God's Spirit stimulate you. Let God's Spirit control you and manage your energy. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul says it like this. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. Would you agree with me? And he says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. So everything that you do and everything that I do is not benefiting me. Everything that you do and everything that I do is not constructive. So I need to manage my energy. I need to be able to say, is it really beneficial for me to give this much energy to this? Is it really constructive for me to give this much energy to this? Or should I manage it? Otherwise, we're going to be like Isaiah that we looked at earlier. I have used my strength, but I didn't accomplish anything. That leads to depression. That leads to discouragement. That leads to defeat. So Paul would say, analyze your lifestyle. Maximize the present. Prioritize what is important. And manage your energy. Put your energy towards that which is beneficial and constructive. And then let me give you this last one, and it's this. Practice a Sabbath. Practice a Sabbath. That is so, so huge. Practice a Sabbath. We talked a little bit about this last week. Here's what God told the Israelites. He says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and the harvest, you must rest. Practice a Sabbath. This comes back to trust. Because God ultimately wants you and I to trust. And you'll never slow your roll unless you trust God. Because you'll always try to increase that gap more and more and more and more, and you can't do it. So you might say, Dwight, what do you do on a Sabbath? Okay, let me give you some things to help you, okay? One is you rest your body. You rest your body. You schedule. You know what? I'm going to rest my body. I'm going to rest my mind. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is take a nap. You refocus your soul. What we would say is, you know what? You make it a priority to be at the weekend service because your soul is the most important thing about you. Remember? It's the king in the game of chess. You lose your king, game over. You lose your soul, game over. So you come back and you refocus your soul. But you not only do that, you recharge your emotions. What is it that recharges your emotions? There are certain things that you can do that, you know what, when you find yourself engaged in it, it recharges you. It may be working in the garden. I don't know. It may be playing around a golf. I don't know. But what happens is you recharge your emotions and then you reconnect relationally. You reconnect relationally with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends. Let's say with your small group, the people that's important to you. And so slowing your roll is understanding that you have limited time. So you need to limit your time. How do you do that? Well, in your notes, I gave you a little chart. And here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to do that. This is your homework, okay? This is your homework. Ask yourself to your schedule, what do you need to add to your schedule? For some of us, you know what it might be? I need to add to my schedule that I'm going to attend a weekend service consistently. You need to add that to your schedule. because that's going to help you in your overall life, okay? Some of us, we need to subtract some things. I need to subtract this. Matter of fact, you want me to tell you what? Some of us need to subtract some people from our life because they are eating your time up. They're draining you. They're draining you. And what happens is you just need to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to subtract them from my life because I cannot continue to let them consume my time the way that they are. Y'all okay? Yes, God loves them. Yes, they're probably nice. But you know what? They are eating your lunch. For others, you know what? There's some things that you need to be able to say, I need to have a greater focus on this. A greater focus on this. It might be, I need to have a greater focus on spending time with my spouse. I spend time with my spouse, but I need to have a greater focus with that. Or maybe my kids. I need to be able to do that. And then lesser. You know, maybe you need to say, hey, you know what? I really probably shouldn't be golfing five times a week. You know, I really shouldn't be all that much. Not eliminate it. Just say, you know what? It needs to be lessened in my life. And here's my challenge for you, okay? My challenge for you is that you would go over this with your spouse. Okay? Listen to me, singles. Okay? This is huge. This is so, so important, especially if you're a Christ follower. God has a plan for your life. And what happens is you need to take control. And you need to realize, and you need to pray, God, teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. And for that to happen in your life and for that to happen in my life, guess what we got to do? You got to slow your roll. You got to create some space. You got to create some margin between your load and your limits. And if you'll do that, you know what? The sense of being overwhelmed, overextended, overscheduled will begin to drop. I trust you will do that. You see, listen, you know what? If you're not going to do any of this, you just wasted a morning. You know that? It'd been better for you to go do something else than listen to this talking head. Because you're wasting your time, because you're not applying it to your life. It's not bringing about change in your life. And so I trust that you will do that. You don't want to miss next week. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for Jesus because he makes life better. And he makes us better at life. And we want to be more like him. And God, all of us have things pulling at us. And there's other people who would like to control our time and our schedule. And God, I pray for me and I pray for all of us here today that we would begin to learn to number our days. Doesn't come natural. So that we might gain a heart of wisdom, so that we might gain your perspective, and that we might invest our time and not just spend it or waste it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.